Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. This is the website broadcast the Lord instructed me to do, and I thank the Lord for every one of you who go on the website and listen to these broadcasts. The Lord, whenever God is part of something, he's working on a plan that's going to work. And if you're listening to this broadcast, I believe you're part of that plan. The information that the Lord is giving me for these website broadcasts are for those who are strong in the Lord. These are those who will go to the website and listen because they're hungry. Some of the things that I say on the website broadcast, he doesn't release me to say on the radio. But this audience, more mature people go on there and they want more. When we hear the word of God, it puts a hunger in us and we want more. I always want more of God. I love to see his people in action. I love to hear every man and woman of God who hear from him. That message is so pure that you can feel the life in it. But when people preach doctrines and opinions, it's watered down. It's not the same. It's not anointed. The only part that's anointed is the pure word of God that they happen to speak. Now that's just the way it is. People preach, the word of God said that we know in part. So if we know in part, we understand in part. And some people are better at preaching some things. Now we don't know everything. I don't know everything. But the Holy Spirit does. So when he released something through me, I pay attention to it. When he released something through others, I pay attention to it. I don't just follow the Holy Ghost in my own spirit. He has other anointed people too. And they're in place to be a blessing. And they fought many battles just to speak his word. The enemy tried, just like he tried to stop me from speaking God's word, and he tried to work against me as I do God's will, he tried to work against others. So when people pull through and they speak what God put on their heart, I listen. I'm not one of these proud preachers that's trying to be the best and look down on others. That's not the way the body of Christ works. Jesus said, whoever is the greatest servant will be the greatest in heaven. And I'm not trying to be the greatest servant so that I can be great in heaven. I just want to do what God wants me to do. And in order to get the job done, I have to regard what he say through others. Sometimes people can give you a piece of the puzzle that you don't have. And I found that to be certain. Sometimes people said things and it really helped me to transition. And that's what we're talking about today. And I'm going to tell you, there was a minister at the church. He helps in the youth ministry. And he is a blessing. He's a man of God. He can preach anywhere. And his name is Michael England. And we had a praise service one night, just a praise service. And we called it Freedom Night. The praise team did a Freedom Night, did just music. All right, he did an exhortation, maybe about 15 minutes, 20 at the most. And then we continued singing. So in his exhortation, he talked about a man that had cancer. And he was married, he had a wife, and he was battling cancer and struggling to get healed. And Brother England said, somebody asked him, do you think would your wife help you right now if she could? He said, yeah. They said, why? Because she loves me. And then they asked him, well, what about God? And it helped him to receive his healing. Now, sometimes when you put things on another plane of thought, let's say a person that never experienced being healed by God, and now they got a terminal illness that the doctors can't do anything about, and you're still in your right mind, you want to live, you have a good marriage, you got kids, you got grandkids you want to help take care of, and you want to see them grow, and you want to go to their weddings, and all that's not going to happen if this illness take you out. So that was the position this man was in. Now, but when they asked him those questions, it helped him to see that God can do something about his situation. and he loves him enough to do something about his situation. And then they pointed him to how the word of God says by Jesus' stripes we're healed, and we have to believe it. Now, last website broadcast, we talked about change. Now, this one is transition. Once you make changes, you have to transition. Transition is a stronger form of change. You're learning more. You're learning how to defeat your enemy. You're not only willing, but now you're transitioning into the knowledge of God, and it's going to become your foremost thoughts. It's going to become your first reaction. It's going to be what you act on and not the fear that you were used to once. See, in ministry, we have to make change. We have to transition. Now, when on the way home, I was thinking about that. I said, a lot of people do struggle with healing, and God made it so simple. I once asked the Lord, Lord, what about healing? Why? Sometimes it's just hard to see it through. And I was asking him questions about healing. He said, it's as easy as picking fruit. And I teach healing. I've been healed. And then I had to receive that concept that it's as easy as picking fruit. If you can believe, you can have it. And then something else happened. I'm just meditating on everything that Michael England taught and what the Lord was saying. And I wanted the Lord to help me understand what I did. And I knew it was something that I didn't catch yet about healing. And I woke up one morning and the Lord taught me something. He said, doubt can exist in different parts of your being. Now, all the time that I ever taught healing and received healing and believed for it, I always fought doubt in my mind. But he said, doubt can exist in different parts of your being. Your spirit man, that's your heart. Your mind, that's your soul. And your body. In fact, doubt can exist in different parts of your body. Now, with this in mind, I learned something. And I learned it's helping me to transition so that I can walk in healing better. Now, let me put it to you this way. Let's say you believe God for healing. You believe the word about concerning healing. You believe by Jesus' stripes you're healed. And 2 Peter's, 1 Peter's version where it says, by his stripes you were healed, looking back to the cross. And you receive all the scriptures where people have been healed. And you drive it out of your mind, just like the Hebrews were supposed to drive the Canaanites out of their land. Now I know that your body, you can have doubt in it as well. And I never fought doubt in my body. I only fought it in my mind. And I received God's word in my heart. And then I get healed. Now, the conditions for faith to operate, Jesus said, if you believe and doubt not in your heart, you can speak to this mountain and it will obey you and it will do what you say. So the rules of faith is you got to believe it in your heart, in your spirit, man. And you got to speak it with your mouth and not doubt in your heart. Now, a person can have real true faith in their spirit, in their heart. And they can also have doubt in their heart at the same time. And it will neutralize your faith. It will cancel out your faith. It'll cause you to be double-minded and you will not get healed. So I learned these things. I preached these things. I taught it. I understood it. But I did not know that doubt could exist in my body, in my mind, and my spirit. I knew it could exist in your spirit and your mind. Sometimes you can have doubt in your mind and no doubt in your heart, you can get healed. And it will actually surprise you because your mind has to catch up to it. Now, in order to transition, you have to keep putting the word in your heart and drive that doubt out. And you have to speak life into your life. Speak God's will into your life. I did when I read that scripture, be anxious for nothing. I used to confess, I will not be anxious for anything. I refuse to be anxious for anything. And I would think up the worst situation and said, and I would say, by my faith, I will not be anxious over that. Until it was real. And I prayed that word. I prayed those scriptures, and I spoke those scriptures with my mouth. And I transitioned. And I do that in every area of growth to make sure that I don't go backwards and lose the change that I've succeeded in. It can happen because the word can be, can you can let it slip at any time. And then the enemy's trying to attack your faith. Now, Pastor Webb, about 10 years ago, I visited his church when they got the new building over in over there on Derby Parkway. And I have had troubles with my sinuses for years. I'm around a lot of chemicals. I paint cars sometimes, and it, you know, my nose just, I have trouble with my sinuses. Well, when he laid hands on me, I felt the power of God go into my nose, and it didn't run. And for days, I enjoyed a good breathing nose. I was healed by the anointing, and I felt the anointing. Now, one of his gifts, he has a gift of healing, and he says he has a lot of success with healing people of allergies. That was a man that couldn't eat watermelon, or somebody couldn't eat peanut butter. He prayed for him and they got healed. And he's had success with healing in other areas as well. But, you know, with the gift of healing, sometimes people have more success with something like cancer. And somebody may have more success with opening people's ears so they can hear. And some will have more success with the eyes. You know, people find as they lay hands on people, they just have more success with something. That's just how it is. Well, he has. He said that he always have success healing people of allergies. So he laid hands on me, and my symptoms were gone from that moment, and I could feel it. When I sat back in the pew, I just felt great. I could breathe so good. And after a few days, within a week, my nose was running again. And so I said, Lord, I didn't keep my healing. I wanted to keep it. Now, 9.5 years later, right after what Michael England's taught, about a year and a half ago, I knew that doubt existed in the body. It could exist in the body and different parts of the body. You know, you may get healed. I've been healed in my leg and my shoulder. I had muscle aches and now they're gone. They never came back. I didn't have doubt there. But with my nose ran so long I got used to it. Now this truly happened. He visited our church and prayed, and he said, anybody got sinus trouble? I went and laid and prayed for him. I felt the anointing again. It went in my nose. I said, I'm not losing it this time. Because now I know what to fight. So I fought it. And in fact, I had been under the weather a little bit. And I even had some Claritin D. I was able to not take it for a while. I rebuked the doubt that was in my nose. That sounds crazy, but I'm healed. My nose not running. I'm breathing better. It feels good. Like a child's nose. It feels good. When people don't have sinus trouble, it feels good to breathe. I sensed that my nose was looking to run. My nose was used to the symptoms. And I could tell that my nose was actually seeing if they would come back. And I spoke to my body. I said, stop looking for the symptoms. By Jesus' stripes, you heal. And my nose hadn't run as bad. And I kept that healing. I enjoyed that kind of that anointing for about 3 weeks. And I just kept, I stayed with it. I'm on to something. We have to grow and graduate. We can be good at something. We can be great at something. And we can be fantastic at something. The things that I'm learning, I learned a long time ago. Be patient with yourself. Keep endeavoring to learn. If you fail, you didn't lose, as long as you're continuing to transition. Now, when I run into roadblocks and things that I just don't know or lack skill in, and I fail, you know, I'm not ashamed to tell you when I fail, because it's just something that happens. Everybody that attempts to live by faith, they sometimes fail before they get it right. And sometimes there's not anything wrong with the word. It's not anything wrong with the promise. But we live in an anti-Christian world system. We're in the world, and we're not of the world. And we have to learn the ways of God in order to receive victory. Now, people who say, well, God don't do this and God stopped doing that, they'll say, see there, you got healed and you lost it. Let me tell you something right now. Most people, if not most, many people lose their healing. Because if they got sick in the first place, that was a problem. And sometimes a lifestyle change has to happen. They're just not skilled yet. The good thing is they did get healed. Even if you got healed and you lost it, at least you got healed. All you have to do now is learn. I go in the presence of the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I missed something. That's what I was doing when I was meditating on what Michael England said. The doubt can, he showed me what was wrong. Doubt can exist in different areas of your being, in any part of your body, in any part of in your mind, in your spirit. But the anointing came, and the anointing broke the yoke twice. But I didn't know how to keep it. So now I know what to watch out for. And I steadily confess that my nose is healed. Because by Jesus' stripes it is healed. We have to transition. Failure does not mean that the word doesn't work. Sometimes we have to learn more about it. Now, even if you're anointed, that doesn't mean you got it all figured out yet. If you're anointed, you have God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. And if you are anointed, you were mature enough to begin to operate in it. It's up to you to learn. See, the just shall also live by his faith. Some people try to make a living with the anointing, and that won't work, because God requires you to live by your faith. You may have a healing ministry and thousands of people get healed and they put so much money in the offering. You are still required to believe God for your needs. And check this out. Let's say you are anointed to heal people. You have a healing anointing. And then you get sick. You are required to believe God and take him at his word, just like everybody else. And even though you're anointed, your anointing is for others. You got to believe God for your own healing. I heard Benny Hinn, he was sick one time, and people were healing. He tried to be healed by his anointing, the Lord said, this is not for you. He had to use his faith. And when I heard that, it got me, you know, the justice required to live by his faith. And this man have healed people all around the world. But he got to believe God for healing himself. Or you can die. Or you can live bad. You can live in pain. But if you learn to believe for your own healing, even though you're anointed to heal, you will receive healing. That's just the way what the Lord anoints you to do is for other people to fulfill a need. But you're still required to learn his word and live by your faith. There are some people, they're anointed and they are poor because they did not learn to prosper. You have to, and with that, I was explaining something on one of the previous webcasts. I think it was the last one about change. I had to learn to receive more than just enough. I had a problem. I would only believe God for what I needed. And when I tried to believe God for what I wanted, I had struggles. Now, if I owed you some money, I could believe God and pay you all your money, whatever it was, even if it was thousands of dollars, because I did it. If I owed somebody else, I would believe God and I would receive it and I would pay him. I would pay my bills. But when it was something I wanted, it usually took a long time for me to save up and get what I wanted. And I had to learn to make some adjustments. See, before you can make change, you got to make some adjustments in the way you think. And then you make change. Now, once you make a change, when you transition, you fully change. You receive, you're at a point where you're receiving God's wisdom. You put the past way behind you. And you transition into the perfect will of God. Until we transition into the perfect will of God, there will be places in our lives we're just not satisfied with. Now, I don't like the fact that I had to struggle to get my nose healed. And I still believe God for that healing. I'm required to live by my faith. But now I know that what I'm used to is not my true way of life. God healed my nose, my sinuses. They don't have to run all the time. And they do better. And I still have room for better. But what Pastor Webb did, he did his part. And the anointing broke the yoke. But I had to train in order to keep it. Sometimes you have to train. Now, with that in mind, David was anointed to be king by Samuel. But he ran into a lot of roadblocks. Now, David says something about the problems he had in Psalms 89. And you have to study that in your study time. The Lord put this in my heart about Abigail. Abigail was married to Nabal. Now you can read 1 Samuel chapter 25 in your study time. But for the sake of the last few minutes, I'm just going to put the highlights, share the highlights that God put in my heart. Now David came, and he and his men needed food, and he was trying to ask Nabal for some food, for some help. Because he was the king. He was Nabal's king. Nabal refused. Nabal got mad at him, sent him away. Now David had thought to kill Nabal because he was the king and somebody in his country was not subject. And the kings don't play. Now even David didn't play. Now Saul was still alive, but David was anointed to be king. When Abigail found out what David was saying, because in verse 13, David said to his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff, because he had 600 men in all. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on him. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversing with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou would do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." Now watch verse 18. "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses, donkeys, And she said to her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband, Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. And David said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained to it. Now she counseled David. She was the voice of reason to help David transition. And she humbled herself. She gave the men something to eat. She interceded for her husband so David wouldn't kill Nabal. And when you study the story for yourself, you're going to find that David received her wisdom. He repented from his anger and his plans to kill Nabal and his house. He received wisdom, and he learned a better way of being a king. He was not like the way that he was used to kings acting. See, until we get a firm understanding of what God is doing, we act like what we've been used to, what we're used to. We act like the people who raised us, the people that we were around. And David was acting like what he was around. But he received the wisdom of Abigail. Just like the Holy Spirit gives you, he guides you into better truth. You have to transition. You have to receive what he's saying, or make adjustments within your own heart and mind. And then you change. And after you change, you transition. Your will become God's will. When you fully transition, your will is God's will. And there's no arguing. When the Lord speaks, you act. You speak life. Whatever he brings to your attention, you speak life to it, and you act on it. And you never go back to what you were used to. That's full transition. Now, Nabal, when she came and told Nabal, her husband, what she had done and how she saved his life, Nabal was so mad that he died within himself. His face was like a stone. And then eventually he died. And David said, this woman has the wisdom of God. You know, she has the counsel of the Holy One. So he went back and married her because she was wise. And I'm sure she was beautiful. Now his wife, Michael, Saul gave her to somebody else. So now in those Hebrews, they married more than one wife. I'm glad I'm not like that. I wouldn't want more than one woman. That's just weird to me. Even though David and Saul and them did it and it was sanctioned by God, I'm glad that I don't have to deal with that. I wouldn't want more than one wife. That's weird to me. But thank God for them. Anyway, he transitioned. And the will of God became his will. And he humbled himself and he yielded to the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is going to help you. He's going to guide you in all the things you need. Now I'm going to tell you about the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman. If you really want to transition, fully transition, fully yield to whatever he brings to your attention. If you don't want to do it somewhere, you need to make a note of it and say, Lord, be honest with the Lord. Say, Lord, I got reserves about this. I don't really want to do that. I say, why are you, and ask him, why are you asking me to do that? Why do I have to do something I really don't see? I'm not clear about it. If you're not clear about it, you can't transition. Even if you decide to change, you don't need nothing in the back of your mind arguing with the Lord. When the Lord wants me to do something, I try to make sure that I don't have nothing in the back of my mind to keep me from, to talk me out of it. Because for certain, people are going to try to talk you out of it. The world system is going to try to talk you out of it. And Satan is going to try to fight you. and bring aggravating situations to cause you to turn from it. And I don't want all that foolishness. If you're not one, how can two walk together unless they agree? How can a couple have a flourishing marriage unless they learn how to agree? It's the same way with the Lord. Now, the Lord is a person. If you can't transition, if you can't learn what he's trying to show you, how can you be one with it? And if there's something in the back of your mind otherwise, how can you stay true to what God wants you to do? So to make the adjustment complete, transition. Get whatever's in the back. You have to dialogue with the Lord to get there. You have to ask him questions and gain understanding. Now, I'm going to tell you what helped me. When he would show me what would happen if I obey him, because usually when he gave me those words for pastors, he would show me the road that would happen if they obey him and the road that would happen if they didn't. And I literally saw thousands and thousands and thousands of people go through one man's ministry if he obeyed God. And I wanted that so much for him, but he didn't listen. He stuck with what he knew, and it's not going to happen according to what I saw in that vision. Oh, I'm out of time. But God is not. He'll continue to teach you. Trust him. Receive what he's saying. Make the adjustments. Change and fully transition so that nothing will be lacking. Now, until next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is.